This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, October 26, 2022, Feria in Trinitytide, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Honor thy father and thy mother. Hear that often when we hear the Decalogue read, the Ten Commandments, the Book of Exodus, the Book of Deuteronomy. Honor thy father and thy mother. But we hear it from the first reading today because St. Paul uses it. This is one of the reasons that I harp so much on the necessity of Scripture, because I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and for me, the easiest path is the path of the apostles. The apostle Paul, in his writings, which are akin to two-thirds of the New Testament, right at, in his writings in the New Testament, he frequently presents the words of Scripture. He doesn't say, you should listen to me because I'm Paul, which he could, and he does a couple times actually say that, because he is Paul. He was an apostle called by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has that authority. But to add to that authority, actually, I would say to underscore that authority, he always goes to Scripture to make his points. He always goes to Scripture to present the authority as to why we not should believe, but actually do the things that are admonished in Scripture and by those who use Scripture as their authority. This is why it is such an important part of the deposit of the faith. Deposit of the faith, Scripture, the traditions of the Church, and the perennial magisterial teachings of the Church. Because the traditions of the Church, capital T, and the perennial teachings of the magisterium of the Church are grounded on what we are taught in Scripture. Scripture does not take precedence over the other parts of the deposit of the faith, but they are founded upon it. We have the Scriptures from the traditions of the Church. So you see how they will all work integrally. But to get back to what I was saying, the idea that Scripture is where authority is founded, because Scripture is not just merely words in a book for us. It's not a sacred book. It's what God says. That's why when people destroy Bibles, burn Bibles and things like that, yeah, it's not something that we want to see, and it can upset us. But at the end of the day, guess what we do if somebody burns our Bible? We get another one. And I would actually submit to you, one of the better things that you can do is to have like the real important parts of Scripture here. You should read it and be into it enough and know God's revelation yourself to be able to present when you don't have a Bible with you to actually quote some Scripture. This is the reality that gives us authority. This is St. Paul's practice. Is it St. Paul's practice? He quotes Scripture. In this case, the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, because Scripture adds force to what he's saying. Not only does it add add force to what we say, it is also, it lends a note of reverence to our duties as Christians. Because, you know, as Paul's laying out here in Ephesians, our duty as Christians, particularly in the family, fathers and mothers, children, how fathers are supposed to raise their children, these are important things. And Paul grounds what he starts to say about them in Scripture, the Ten Commandments. And then as he goes on, you know, because not only, okay, I got to dot the I's and cross the T's, not only that, but you should approach our Christian duties out of a source of reverence for God. Not just what he said, but who said it. This is an important thing. I would submit to you that it's probably the most important out of the two. Is to revere him for who? He said, this is why we venerate Scripture so much, because it's God talking to us. We need to rely on this because we, as servants of our Lord, we who are called to go and teach people all that God, Christ has commanded us, when we do that, this is why I constantly harp on another thing. Never, when you are speaking of the things of the faith, say, I believe, or I think, or someone told me this, or appeal to even, somebody who you might really respect in the church, a great theologian or something. Don't do that. Appeal to Scripture. Appeal to the traditions of the church. Appeal to the constant magisterial teachings of the church throughout history. Because when you hear something different than that, that's when all the red flags should start waving back and forth. Okay, this is when we should stop, when we know it's not correct, because it's not founded on God's revelation of himself. It's something from within our own hearts, and we don't want to deal with that, because last time I read the scripture, our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful among all things. Who can know them? So we don't want to rely on that whole, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. No, the Holy Spirit spoke in scripture, and he never contradicts himself. And he's given us what he wants us to tell people. Because a lot of times what we got to tell people, you are telling them what to do. Who am I to tell a person what to do? You are no one to tell them what to do. I am no one to tell them what to do. God tells them what to do. God speaks through his word. And when you speak the word of God, then you are using his authority. So when you appeal to scripture, their beef isn't with you. Their beef is with the deposit of the faith. And that's what we want, because that's what we can just step back and go, hey, I've presented to you what God said. In this context, Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about honoring parents, talks about raising your children. These are not suggestions. None of the commandments are suggestions. They are commandments. We have a lot of precepts that are as binding as the Ten Commandments. And so when we look at these things, we look at the raising of children, for instance. I always say it makes me nauseous when I will hear particularly a Catholic say, well, I'm going to let my kids, make the decisions about religion as they get older. Well, really, nothing like violating the will of God. Nothing like shirking your parental responsibility. I shouldn't even say shirking. Being malfeasant as a parent, putting your child's soul in danger, because what do the scriptures say? Bring them up in the discipline and correction of the Lord. Who is the Lord? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Christians, our baptized children must, imperative, be raised as Christians. You don't formulate those things on your own. That's what parents are here for. This is the word of God. This is his revelation. So when I say that to a parent, or when how can he say that? Because there might be some people in here who think that. They should not think that. It is unacceptable. It is a violation of the revealed will of God. And that is part of the definition of sin. It is a sin to wait for your children to get old to make those decisions on their own. It's a sin, a grave sin. This is not me being bold, me just saying and believing what our Lord Jesus Christ said through St. Paul. Because when you use the authority of the deposit of the faith, you speak with the authority of Christ. You have as much authority as Jesus Christ because you're just using his words. That's why you don't interpret them in the way you want. Martin Luther, John Calvin, leave this part out, take this part out. That's why I'm always bashing the new lectionary. Leave this out, leave that out. Don't ever hear about judgment. Don't ever hear about sin. Don't ever hear about hell. That's a travesty. It's malfeasance. It's unacceptable. It's sin. This is the reality of things. Not because I say so, but because God says so. I mean, the scriptures that we have, the scriptures, they have been given us to order our lives. Okay, this is why I'd say the original Protestant heretics, and now their followers, unfortunately. They even have an eviscerated Bible. Okay? They don't have all the books that are supposed to be there. Why? Because a lot of them don't agree with their theology. And that's their trick. They got to beat the scriptures into their theology. You beat your theology into scripture. This is why it is so important. Because the scriptures, as I said, they've been given us to order our lives. Not a suggestion as to how we may order our lives. It's an imperative. These are God's precepts for his people. It's what he expects. A fifth century theologian, Theodoret of Cyrus. Theodoret, he speaks about this passage in Ephesians. He says, even the way it's laid out, when we talk about ordering our lives, even the way it's laid out, he said, it shows the order of things. Is it because when St. Paul first starts talking about the family, he talks about marriage, a husband and a wife's relationship with each other, because marriage comes first. And then he talks about children. Obey your parents, because children come after you get married. That it's not up to us to mess around with the order of things there. It's not okay. Okay, this is the order of God. Marriage, children. And then he talks about raising children. As they get older, they need to listen. They need to be admonished. They need to be disciplined and corrected according to the Lord, not according to our own women will. This is what our Lord demands of us, because this is what we are, what is expected of us as servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live our lives in an orderly manner. When you do this, there's manifestation. The saints today, you know, I'm always saying, not many people know about this saint, not many people know about that saint. I would say a whole bunch less know about the saints today. Two bishops, Chad and Ched, very patrimonial. They're from the middle of England, 7th century. Chad and Ched were two of four brothers. They were born into a faithful family. That faithful family wanted to raise them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. They knew the best way to do that was to send them off to school at a monastery. Out of the four boys, all four of them became priests. All four of them. Three of them became saints of Holy Church. Chad and Ched, they both became bishops in the church. One was actually on his way to the ceremony, the ritual to become an abbot in his monastery. And he got there and he so impressed the bishop that was going to make him an abbot, he consecrated him bishop of a see that didn't have a bishop. This is the reality of what happens when you raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You would think, man, wouldn't it be great if I sent my kids off to Catholic school and one out of the four would become a priest? You send four, you've done the right thing, you pray for them, and all four become priests, three saints and two bishop saints. That's tremendous. That's what happens when God honors what we do when we do what he says. This is what he expects of servants. St. Paul says that in Ephesians. As the servants of Christ do the will of God from the heart with a good will serving as to the Lord and not men. We live in a day and an age when, oh man, is it all about making sure people are happy as opposed to doing what's right. Just the opposite of what Scripture says. Paul says it in another part in Galatians. If I please men, I am not a servant of Christ. Okay, because you know what? What Christ says doesn't please the pagan, of which there are, that is the most. That's the ones Christ talks about in the gospel today. Many will come to me in that day. Lord, Lord, did we do this? Did we do that? You didn't do what I said. You did what you wanted to do. You wanted to approach me on your own terms. You wanted to beat your scriptures, my word, into your theology, as opposed to conforming yourself to what I said. This is not being a proper servant. You stick with the word of God. You use the word of God, not maybe. Use it when you need to. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you're going to need to. So you need to do the right thing. Be a good servant. do it from the heart, not to please men. In the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost.